This is SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
I've been dead once already. It's very liberating. You should think of it as therapy. Jack, listen. Maybe we can cut a deal. Jack is dead, my friend. You can call me
Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now, he covers the Colts for SB Nation. He's Matt Danley. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, man?
All right, so your Colts are having an interesting offseason. The good news is, man, I think they just took the Jets to the woodshed. Your thoughts on that deal?
We kind of talked about this last night on the Colts cast. I don't know so much that it was taken to the woodshed. I think that you kind of balance the possibilities here. You could trade up now, like Ballard did, and you could get a really nice pull. Because I love the trade. I think a vast majority of Colts fans do. But as we've seen on draft day, when people get desperate and they trade up, man, you seem to get a lot more. But with this one, I think we looked at the trade value chart, and the Colts, I think, got like plus 750 or 800 points in this draft. So they come around with five picks in the top 70 overall in this draft, and I think that's a heck of a good start when you look at all the all the things that the Colts need to fill on the offensive line or anything, but on defense too. I mean, they've got a lot of spots that are open. So I think it's a bang up trade for the Colts. I think that it was very successful, and I know that Colts fans are pretty happy with it as well.
Now, the two guys who are most associated with the Colts in the three spot were Saquon Barkley and Bradley Chubb. How does that change now in the six spot?
I don't know that it does, at least with the Chubbs. I think that a lot of us, and I think that myself at least, I don't really tend to believe that Saquon Barkley is going to be there. He could be. But I think that Bradley Chubb will be. I mean, because when the Colts trade out of that number three, you've almost got to, you're almost assured that the Browns, and I shouldn't speak in certainties, we know better than talk about the draft in certainties, but you would think that the Browns will take a quarterback at one. I think that you have the Giants quite a good possibility of trading out of that number two pick now as well, if they can find a partner. If not, they may take Barkley. At number three, you've got the Jets now. They're definitely getting a quarterback. Then you go back to the Browns, and it just depends on, what they want. If the Giants didn't take Barkley, I think that's a fairly intelligent thought that's going to be where he could land. But there's a bunch of people in play there. They've talked about the corner from Ohio State being, at the top of their list there, that they could use him. I know that Minkah Fitzpatrick is a guy that a lot of people in the associated with the Browns are talking about as a possibility there as well. But Bradley Chubb's definitely on the table there. But then, you get to five with the Broncos, and you assume that they're going to take a quarterback or something else. They just don't seem to be in a spot with the pass rushers that they've got on their roster that they would want Bradley Chubb. So I think it's more than possible, and I would even say probably likely that Bradley Chubb is still available at six. I couldn't really tell you about Saquon Barkley because they just don't know how teams are going to value running back. I think when you look at the difference between the two positions, running back and pass rusher is something that people will jump at to take in the top five, top six, seven, eight picks without any question. Running back, some teams are, kind of iffy about it seems like some years, but with such a quality talent and a quality running back as Barkley, a lot of people who weren't previously sold on taking a running back at that high may end up jumping on it.
All right. Now, I know the Colts have, they've said, look, our goal is we're looking to rebuild the team through the draft. Hmm. As of right now, they've got more cap space than anybody, but they're not spending a whole lot of it. Are they waiting to, play some bingo later on, see who gets released? Like, what is the purpose of trying to hold on to $75 million?
Well, I think their cap floor or their salary floor or what they have to spend, to be in coordination with, you know, the 90% spending over whatever it is, like the 4 years throughout, I think is around 40 or 43 million or somewhere around there right now. So, yes, they've got to spend money either way, any way you look at it. But, you know, with Danico Autry being a quietly really good signing, to be quite honest, but then you move on and there's just not a lot of other guys out there that are going to really command that kind of money to where the Colts could spend a ton of that money. They're going to have some rollover for next year. There's no doubt about it, unless they just go hog wild. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you want to build through the draft, and that's been Ballard's thing. He says he wants to build draft on top of draft, but you still have to be able to find some pieces in free agency, and you've got to spend some of that money. You've got to fill some holes, but you've also missed out on some young guys who could have come in and made a real difference in that roster, I think. Whether they weren't interested or whether you weren't interested in paying them that kind of money, it's hard to tell. And we don't, you know, we've all learned by now that we have no idea what Chris Ballard is thinking. So that's, you know, kind of a lost cause. You just push that aside and forget about it. But the exciting part about all of this is that you know that he's going to be building some of these under the radar free agent packages, because that's what he's done since he's been here. He's brought in, you know, several guys that a lot of people didn't know much about. DJ White at corner, a guy that they claimed off of waivers from the Chiefs. They also grabbed a couple other linebackers. I mean, Jermaine Grace. They've done a little bit of this. Darnell Sankey's another one, you know, kind of an underrated guy. A guy who fits what they want. Joey Mboo, a nose tackle. So that's kind of what Ballard's been inching towards since he's been in the building. And I think that that's what he's basically trying to do, is build the depth first, get the starters out of the draft, and then find a way to maybe add a few pieces here and there in free agency and not overspend. But you're right, there's such a fine line between not overspending and not having anybody to spend it on. It's really it's quite strange. I mean, I think that the former GM in Green Bay kind of learned the hard way that you can't exclusively build through the draft or you're going to end up losing your job eventually. Granted, he had a healthy stay there, but it's just, I think that they need to find a little more balance, I think, with it to, you know, really get the full scope of free agency in there. I think that it would, you know, calm some fans down. But then again, nobody listens to the fans when you want, when you're building a roster. If they did, there'd be probably 25 to 27 really terrible teams in the NFL.
Hey, Matt, why do the Colts release Jonathan Hankins? I mean, I they don't need the money.
No, I wish I knew. It doesn't make any sense to me. A lot of people are kind of just parroting the thought that it's a scheme situation, but that doesn't really make sense either. That doesn't pass the smell test, because his time at Ohio State, he was in a 4-3. His early years at New York with the Giants, he was in a 4-3 and was pretty solid. I mean, he did a nice job there, and then once they had Snacks Harrison come in and take over the nose tackle there in New York, they switched it to a 3-4, and I mean, with the defensive coordinator that came in. But, I mean, if you look at his early years in there, I mean, he had 7 sacks in 2014, 51 total tackles. He's a guy that I think that is as scheme diverse as you get. I mean, this guy's played in even fronts his entire career other than just a couple years in the pros. And to say that he doesn't fit in a 4-3 is lazy, but it's just not true. It's just patently false. He does fit in. He fits in just about anything that you want a possibility to have a three-down, run-stopping defensive tackle on your team. And he also adds a little bit of diversity with the fact that he can actually get to the quarterback if that's what he's supposed to do. He wasn't asked to do that a ton as far as split gaps and stuff like that last year. So that he wasn't asked to do that, people are assuming he can't do that. And that's just not the – that's just – you know, those aren't on the same wavelength there. I don't understand it. Like you said, they do not need the money. It was not something that they had to do. But, you know, maybe Matt Eberflus coming in, maybe he just had a personal preference that he didn't want him in there. I just don't understand that, because we've seen Ballard last year in the draft, last year with his free agent signings, whether it was some of the guys I talked about, the under-the-radar guys, or whether it was the main bulk of free agency. A lot of what he drafted and brought in free agency last year were a lot of scheme-diverse guys, especially in free agency, but a lot of the guys that he drafted were pretty much drafted with a 4-3 in mind, I think. when you look at Hooker, who can sit there in center field, whether in a cover two or a cover three, you've got Quincy Wilson, who is quite possibly a virtual anything type of corner. You know, it just really kind of leads you to think that this was just a personal preference on maybe Matt Eberflus's thoughts. I don't know.
Matt Daly covers the Colts for SB Nation. Matt, how can people find you on Twitter?
You can catch me at MDanelySB.
Buddy, I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, Chris, you want to do our draft next?
Let's do it.
All right, our weekly draft comes up now.